Good evening. I hope the Lord's been good to you today. He has been. I just hope you've recognized it, because God is good and good all the time. Before I read my text tonight, I got a letter this week from someone who has some questions about last Wednesday night's message, but you forgot to sign it. So if you'll tell me who you are, I'll be glad to answer your questions, or you can just go to a church website and re-listen to the message. I did that again this afternoon, and when I woke up, well, turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. We're in a brief series on spiritual warfare. This is the third in those messages. The first 2 weeks, I tried to teach you how to understand where we really are in this battle of the ages. This is not a playground. This is a battleground. We're not on recess. We're at war. Spiritual wickedness in high places. Tonight, I want to talk to you a little while about getting dressed up for the battle. And my concern is it's a most familiar passage of Scripture, and so you may have to really listen closely to gather in what you have need of tonight, because a lot of times we just take the familiar for granted. Next week, I want to talk to you about fighting the battle and staying in the battle for the cause of Christ. So let me begin reading Ephesians 6 and verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. And to that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. Father, I give you praise tonight for who you are. I give you thanks for all that you do for us. I pray for your presence to be manifested in this place. Many of us are physically tired from the day's work and ministry, but refresh us. Open our hearts. Enlarge our minds. Help us to receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save our souls. Help us to understand the seriousness of the hour, the battle that is going on in our world, and how every one of us need to fight the good fight of the faith. Be honored and glorified, be magnified, be exalted, be worshiped by all your people who are here tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. So let me just remind you and review just a little. First, I said there is a general command. Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Make absolutely sure you recognize the power of our enemy, and that in the flesh you have no possibility of winning the battle. Our enemy is a strong enemy. He is not the strongest. Our God is sovereign and strongest of all. But our enemy is much stronger than my might, my power, your might, or your power. So be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. I gave you that specific command. He said, put on the full armor of God. For if you leave one piece of that armor in the wrong place, do not apply it in the right way, the fiery darts of the enemy will come through. And next week we will say much more about how to defeat and defend yourself against the fiery darts of the enemy. And then I explain this command. Why should I be strong in the Lord? Why should I put on the whole armor of God? Because our struggle is not against one another. It is against spiritual wickedness in high places, evil in the heavenlies. And then that second week we talked about Satan's target. He targets every one of us in one of three ways. He might target the mind. And if he targets the mind, he uses lies as his weapon. If he targets your body, he may very well use suffering as his weapon. If he targets your will, he may very well use pride as his weapon. If he targets your mind by deceiving you, it's because he wants to make you ignorant of God's will. You can't do the will of God unless you know the will of God. And that's how he dealt with Eve. If he targets your body in suffering, it's to make you impatient with God's way. And that's how he dealt with Job. He brought suffering to his physical body. And if his purpose is to target your will, he will fill you up with pride like he did David, who numbered or took the census of Israel and brought 70,000 men to their destruction. And he does that so that he will cause you to be independent of God's will. So ignorant of the will of God, impatient with God's will and God's way, or independent of God, trying your best to do what you can in your own strength and in your own energy. And so with that in the background, let's look at these six pieces of armor that we are supposed to put on. I can rattle that off. This is a passage I've memorized years ago. I can talk to you about the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the loins girded about with truth, the shoes of the gospel, the shield of the faith, and the sword of the Spirit. I can tell you that, but I want to get a little deeper tonight so that you can understand more than just the subject. You can understand the reason why these are important parts of the whole armor of God. So let's begin right where Paul begins to the church at Ephesus. He says, first, I want to make sure that you put on the girdle of truth. Now, they did not dress 2,000 years ago like we dress tonight. Most of the men wore flowing robes. When it came time for battle, when they needed to move quickly, they would reach down and get hold of the robe and pull it up and tuck it into the girdle. It made them much more able to move about quickly and to run or to turn or to fight than they would have been had they been tangled up in the long robe that they were wearing. He adds to that that you are to put on the girdle of truth. The sword that a soldier would carry was placed in the girdle that he wore. All of the weaponry that a soldier might have on him was carried in the girdle. If the girdle is the middle portion of the body, then it becomes the balance point. Paul is saying, in essence, this: let truth balance your life. If you don't know the truth, you won't be free, for it is the truth that sets you free. You need to know the truth about your enemy. You need to know the truth about yourself. And oh, you need to know the truth about your God and how mighty He is. For it is the truth that will set you free. It will balance your life. Satan wants to attack by lying, by deceiving. So how do you overcome deception? You know the truth. And the truth sets you free. If Satan comes against your mind, if he lies to you and wants to make you ignorant of the will of God, he can defeat you in your Christian life. But listen, Here is what God wants us to do. The psalmist said, "Search me, O God, and see if there's anything in me that doesn't need to be in me, that your hand of mercy needs to remove from me. Search me and try me and put good things in me so that knowing the truth, I can know you and your will for my life." I want you to get this because it's the girdle of truth that holds it all together. And I want to tell you, it's love and truth that holds it all together in your life. When you don't know the truth, you can't hold it together. We do a lot of counseling, a great deal of counseling. If you'd have told me 20 years ago how much counseling we would have done, I would have thought I'd gotten out of the ministry and become a psychologist or psychiatrist. We do a lot of counseling. One of the reasons, I don't mean to be offensive, I just want you to listen. One of the reasons we do a lot of counseling is because a great many people have not studied to show themselves approved a workman unto God that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You can't lose your relationship to God if you ever know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You are divinely assured and secure. We've already won the battle. God's on his throne. No matter what happens down here, heaven doesn't move a half an inch. This thing's already been settled. And the more you know about the Word of God, the less you worry about your own life. The more truth in you, the less worry and stress upon you. So Paul is very plain. He says when you go out to do battle against the enemy, he's going to lie to you. He's going to try to deceive you. He's going to try to mess with your mind, if you'll let me say it that way. He's going to try to make you ignorant of God's will for your life. So therefore, know the Word of God. It'll be a lamp to your feet. It'll be a light to your pathway. The Word of God will illumine you. It will guide you, direct you. It will reprove you, correct you. It will do for you what nothing or no one else can do. It will balance your life. Your life is not going to be balanced by vacations or recreation. It's going to be balanced by studying to show yourself approved, a workman to God that needeth not to be ashamed. So he starts with the girdle of truth, and he says to us, let that balance your life. Put it on, and let it bind together all that's necessary to be a good soldier of the cross. Then he moves from the girdle of truth, the breastplate of righteousness. Now let me explain that. Somebody, as you read that, thinks, well, that just means the righteousness of Christ that has been imputed and imparted to me. Well, make no mistake, a born-again believer has no righteousness in and of himself. It is the imputed and imparted righteousness of Christ. But this means even more than that in a practical manner. What he is saying here is this: make sure your life is a life of integrity. Make sure you've got a good character. Reputation's what men think about you. Character is what God knows about you. Make sure your character is Christ-like. Make sure you've overcome sinful habits. Make sure you've prayed and confessed your sin and God's forgiven you your sin and cleansed you from all unrighteousness. You say, why is that so important? Listen, if the devil is going to lie to you and you need truth, he's going to accuse you and you need to look back at him and say, no, sir, I'm right with God. I have confessed my sin. I'm walking on winning ground. I am covered in the blood. I belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. I have no place that you can accuse me because I am right and righteous before my God. If you want to put the devil to run, you just live the Christ life. If you want to give him plenty of room to operate, you just allow the carnal things of the world to creep in and seep in. And the reason why he tells us that the breastplate of righteousness is so important is because your lifestyle is going to be observed. And if you're not walking by faith and walking rightly before your God, if you're not walking in a manner of which you were called, as we're taught in the Scriptures, then Satan is going to be your accuser. So he says, make sure you're girded up with the truth. Make sure you have on the breastplate of righteousness, not only the imparted, imputed righteousness of Christ, but listen, there needs to be some of your own in there. There needs to be some integrity and some character and a solid attempt to live out the Christ life that Christ has put in you. And then the third thing that he says is put on the shoes of the gospel. I've heard fellows teach on this, and they've said that just means be ready to go anywhere at any time. Oh, it's much deeper than that. I know you've seen enough movies where you saw Roman soldiers and what they looked like. Their sandals were strapped all the way up to their knee. And they have spikes on the bottom or the sole of the sandals. There are two purposes for that. One is mobility and the other is stability. When they are engaged in battle, they want to be able to stand their ground, stability. And when they have to move about quickly, they want to be able to have traction, mobility. And so he is saying to the real Christian, listen, Satan is going to come to and fro and attack you from every point and every place. You've got to have stability, be able to stand your ground. Here's what he said, so that you may be able to withstand in the evil day and having done all to stand firm. You ever watch a football game and see the middle linebacker standing like this as the play starts? Why, even the referee could knock him over with this position. But he takes a position that causes him to have stability and mobility. He can move to the right, he can move to the left, he can move forward, he can move backward. And if he's hit where he's standing, he will not be knocked ajar if he is standing on firm ground. How many of you know we're on firm ground tonight? How many of you know that Jesus is a rock and we are on the rock of ages? And if you know that, no lie, no deception, no threat is going to keep you from being a good soldier of the faith. You need stability. If every wind of trouble that blows your way knocks you off course, you'll never win battles for the cause of Christ. You need to be able to stand. But Pastor, you don't know what happened to me. You don't know what the doctor said. You don't know what my spouse said. You don't know what my boss said. No, but I know what God said. You get it? We're on the winning side. It's already over in the mind of a sovereign God. I read the last book. We win. Satan loses. It's settled. You've got to be firm. You've got to stand against the evil one. It's not time to fall. It's time to stand. And if ever it was time to stand in America, it's time to stand. Well, shield of faith. It's an interesting piece of armor. Most of us see a shield as something akin to a garbage can lid. We hold it out in front of us. But David calls the shield, he also refers to the buckler. Lord, you're my shield and my buckler. The buckler was the smaller shield that the soldier held himself. But many of the great warriors had a shield bearer that went before them. Now, if you brought a shout with you, get ready. This will be a good place to use it. We've got a shield bearer that goes before us. We're not in this battle alone. I don't just have to hold up a flimsy shield hoping I can pick off the darts of the enemy. I have one out in front of me who already has picked off the fiery darts of the enemy, who's already won the victory, and all he does is say, come on, I've got you front. Come on, I've got you back. Come on, I've got both sides. I've got above you, below you, and I'm within you. Fight the good fight of faith. Stand strong, for there's victory in Jesus Christ the Lord. Well, listen to me. That shield of faith is Jesus. And you say, well, no. It's what I believe. Not unless you believe in Jesus, it's not. The shield of faith is not your opinion. It's not your conviction. It's not even your belief. As a child of God, the shield of faith is none other than Jesus Christ the Lord. When Satan starts knocking at your heart's door, send Jesus to the door, and there won't be anybody there. The shield of faith is Jesus. Now, you carry the little buckler around, and there does come times when the fiery darts of accusation and deception come our way, and we should knock them away and knock them down and never let them bother us. But don't you ever forget, as David said to the King Saul, the battle is not mine, the battle is the Lord's. Saul said, well, David, you're just a teenager, and he is a professional warrior, and you tell me you're going to go out there, and you don't have on a helmet, you don't have on a breastplate, you don't have any of the soldier's armor, all you've got is a little slingshot. He said, no, that's not all I've got. I've got a shield bearer. Because when the bear came into the land, I tore him a slingshot, let go of a rock, killed a bear. When a lion came into the camp, I tore him a slingshot, let go of a rock, killed the lion. And the same God, not the same slingshot, not the same rock, the same God who killed the bear and the same God who killed the lion, he'll take care of Goliath. This is not me fighting Goliath. I've got a shield bearer that's going before me. And then he comes to the helmet of salvation. Well, Pastor, that just means we need to be saved. Well, of course it does. But it means so much more than that. Listen to me. Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. It's not just about relationship. It's about fellowship in the most intimate of way. Think like Jesus thinks. Have the perception of heaven. See things from God's viewpoint. If you gaze for a long time at your enemy just gets bigger and bigger. If you'll glance at your enemy and gaze at your God, I promise you, your God will just get bigger and bigger and bigger. Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but humbled himself, made himself of no reputation, and wrapped around himself the form of a servant, and became just like a man, so that we could be just like our God. If you want to defeat the enemy, I promise you, you begin to think like God thinks. You know, God has never said, oops. He's never been surprised. He's never been snuck up on. Nobody ever tricked God. Nobody ever deceived God. Those who accuse God, it just bounces off. He's a holy God. God can't be lied to. He knows everything about everybody. Think like God thinks. Get the perception of heaven. Catch hold of a vision that is more about glory and eternity than it is about carnality and time. And when you do, I promise you that this helmet of salvation and this mind of the Spirit that's in you will give you a victory. We come to the sword of the Spirit. It's the last thing that he mentioned. And the sword of the Spirit is none other than the Word of God. But now don't get me wrong. It's not taking your Bible. I want you to listen with both ears. It's not taking your Bible and beating people over the head with it. That's not the sword of the Spirit. There are two Greek words for word. One of them is logos. In the beginning was the logos, the word, the Bible. The other is the word rhema. And rhema is much more than just the book, the Bible. It is experiencing in personal lifestyle the principles of the Bible. Pray without ceasing, logos. Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus, rhema. You see the difference? And so here, the sword of the Spirit is not logos, so that the Christian will beat people over the head with his or her Bible. It is rhema. It is the ability to live the lifestyle that the principles of God's Word dictates. And when you're living out the Christ life, that's the sword of the Spirit. When the Word of God is in you and can come from you, when you can speak for God because you've been with God, that's rhema. That's how you defeat the enemy. And I'm afraid too many of us are only trying to beat our world over the head with our Bibles, when what we ought to do is, with a broken heart and an humble spirit, we ought to speak the Word of God every time we can to anybody we can. Where'd you get that? Turn these stones into bread, Satan said to Jesus. Jesus said, let me quote some scripture to you. Man shall not live by bread alone. Jump off the pinnacle. Float down to the bottom. They'll grasp you and make you Lord. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Well, just bow down before me and I'll give you all of this world. And that might have been, even in his weak moments of 40 days in the wilderness, that might have been the time when he smiled and he said, you give me what my Father owns? How dare you? And the Word of God was the mighty sword that defeated Satan at the temptation of Jesus. Now listen to me. If our Lord Jesus thought it necessary to use the Word of God when accused and tried and tempted by Satan, how do any of us think we will ever win any battle at all if we don't hide the Word in our heart so that we might not sin against the Lord? Well, my time's up, but I want to say one other thing and then we'll go. Here are the six pieces of armor. And then here's what he says. Praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication, to the end, so that, to the end, that you'll keep alert and keep on praying for all the saints and for me too. I marvel sometimes at how many times I've sung some of the old hymns and knew the words and didn't grasp the meaning. And here's one of them for you. Stand up for Jesus. Stand in His strength alone. Because the arm of flesh will fail you. You dare not trust your own. Put on the gospel armor. Listen now. Each piece put on with prayer. Where duty calls or danger, be never wanting there. That old hymn takes on new meaning when you recognize that the only way to get dressed up for the battle is to pray the entire time you're being dressed. In fact, how does one put on the girdle of truth? Lord, would you let the truth set me free? Would you balance my life? Would you give me the opportunity to speak the truth in love? How does one put on the breastplate of righteousness? Oh, Heavenly Father, thank you for the blood, for salvation, for Jesus, for who I am since I met him. I once was lost in sin, but now. How does one put on the shoes of the gospel? Lord, you told me to go. I sure do need stability and mobility. Last Friday, some of you were homebound because your car didn't have four-wheel drive, or you didn't have a vehicle, or maybe you just didn't have the courage to get out and slip and slide around. But you listen, much more than slick streets on a snowy day is the slippery slope that the Christian walks on every day, and how you need stability and mobility to get around. And how does one raise the shield of faith? And how does one know the presence of Christ out before you as your shield bearer? He is as near as you want him to be. But listen. Resist the devil, and you draw nigh to God. That's how you put on the shield of faith. That's how you make sure the shield bearer is in front of you. As you resist the devil, you draw nigh to God. And what about the helmet of salvation? Listen, be like the early disciples. Man, those guys are ignorant and unlearned, but I perceive they've just been with Jesus. Just be like them. Be so fresh in the Word and so fresh from the presence of God that when Satan looks you over, he just passes you by. I think I'll pick on somebody else. That fella has a glow about him that reminds me of what happened to Moses when he got in the Shekinah glory of God and he came down a changed man. And then what do you do with the sword of the Spirit? I love my Bible. I love my Bible with all my heart. But I will readily admit to you tonight that there have been times when I've tried to use human logic, human wisdom, manipulation, pulling strings and making phone calls, and crying out and saying, "Who can come to my rescue?" If the whole world ever turns against you and you can hold on to the Word of God, you'll have an eternal, successful, victorious book in your hand. The grass will fade, it'll die, the wind will stop blowing, the waters will dry up, the snow won't fall anymore, but the Word of God will forever stand. Spiritual warfare. Some of you are AWOL. You're absent without leave. You enlisted. But it's been such a long time since you stood firm, took your stand, and fought the good fight of faith. If that's the case, you need to make a fresh commitment to the Lord. Lord, put me on the front line. I'm ready to take up the whole armor of God and stand. Somebody here tonight says, "Man, that's strange. What you've said is strange to me tonight." If you've never heard of the battle and you've never heard of the victory, I want to introduce you to Jesus. In a moment, Mike and I will be here on the altar, and if you just want to come and say, "Pastor, I don't know about all of that," we'd love to disciple you and mentor you and show you how Jesus Christ is Lord over all. Somebody here tonight may have a real burden. Somebody you want to pray for. They're sick and you want to pray for healing. They're sin sick and you want to pray for salvation. They're struggling with life's issues and you want to pray the peace of God over them. Maybe some daddy wants to pray for his kids. Maybe some mom and dad want to come together and commit your home afresh to the Lord. Yes, I know it's Wednesday night. Yes, I know you 300 or 400 of the cream of the crop. You can tell them I said that if you want to. If they'd wanted to have been included, they should have been here. That's all I know. But here's what I really want you to know tonight. This thing is real. And if you'll pardon my lack of grammar, it's getting more and more real every day. And you and I will not enjoy the victory that our Lord's already won unless we get in the battle. I've sat and watched the ball game, and I've played in the game. And I'll tell you right now, I like playing in the game better than I do watching the game. And I've sat and watched God work. It was good. But oh, I've been there when the fire falls. I've seen Him do miraculous things. I know He can save. I know He can heal. I know He can work. And I'd rather be there than anywhere else on the face of the earth. Mike and I'll be here. You stand with us, if you will, and come if you need to.